This morning we'll be sharing along the line of brotherly love. Let brotherly love continue. What is love? In the New Testament and of course in the entire Bible, a couple of words are used to describe the word love. We have an understanding that the Bible, written in Hebrew, Greek, a few words in Aramaic. And so certain words are used to communicate the idea of love. Hebrews 13:1 is where we're looking at, where it says, let brotherly love continue. But to understand that brotherly love is going to look at love. We understand that English, I'm not a big student of English. I need very few words in English. But we understand that that English expression of love, just use love for everything. I love my dog, I love daddy. And then you can wonder, I love my dog, I love daddy. Doesn't mean I love my dog the same way I love daddy.
Yeah.
With other words that are used in scripture, so when the Bible says, for God so loved the world, it says, for God so agape the world. It's the word agape. Sometimes we call it unconditional love, undeserved love. So if a Greek reader was reading the New Testament in Greek, what they would find is agape. Whereas if someone was reading the book of Titus, chapter 2, verse 4, when Paul told Titus to tell women to love their children, it will be reading words like to philotechno your children. To philotechno. Or to love your husband, which will be to philandros. So there are different words. The word philio or phileo or philia is one of the words used in the New Testament to describe love, along with the word agape. The idea of phileo talks about family love, a friendly love. Think about it. You have a brother, you have a sister, and you just love them. And no matter how unpleasant their behavior could be towards you, you just love them. You just keep forgiving. If you met someone who did outside your family, who did the same thing that your brother did to you, you may not talk to the person anymore. That's the end. But your brother, your sister, you just say you are naughty. You use words and you easily forgive. Because they belong to that family. Brotherly love. So when Hebrew writes, Hebrews 13:1, let brotherly love continue. And he wrote it in the context of the church. It's transferring what exists in the family arena into the church arena. And may I also surprise you that the link between you and I as part of the body of Christ is stronger than the link between you and your biological family. This exactly is what Jesus taught. In fact, he said, if you do not love me, whether you love your biological father, mother, brother, sister, you are not part. In essence, he's not saying, despise your biological family. Amen. But you must never rate it with the love you have with Christ. And may I also surprise you that the love that you have for your children, your brother, your sister, must be a subset. When compared with the love you have for those begotten by God. Because those begotten by God are superior to those you begat. In fact, some of those that you begat and that are part of your earthly family are still not part of the family of God. Flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood also include even biological flesh relationships. This is not a teaching to go home and say, I now love my pastor more than my mother. you would have committed another sin. You would have committed another sin. Because the Bible tells you to love your family. I'm only saying this to stir us all in a way not to diminish the quality of life that we share in God, or to relegate it, or to despise it, to think it is second class to your earthly relationship. And this is why it's important for us to be shaped not by cultures and norms in the society, but by the Word of God. Now, the Word of God is consistent. We have diverse cultures and we respect them. Amen? And there are many fantastic cultures in the world. Hallelujah. Some days ago, I began to listen to one song about Caledonia. I heard the word Caledonia also represents Scotland. And then it says Caledonia is calling me. And I kept listening to it and I felt so passionate about it. Like, for the motherland. Love for nation is a good thing.
Amen.
Love for Scotland is a great thing. Is anybody in the house that have love for Scotland? Let me see your hand. I do. It's great. They're beautiful. But you see, we must categorize everything based on the priority God has set them. How God has set the priority. When God said in that garden, let us make man in our own image, in our own likeness, that spoke to us about God's vision. What God started in the Garden of Eden is the beginning of the project of making man in the image and the likeness of God. The finished work was in Christ Jesus. As we bore the image of the first Adam, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says we also must bear the image of the second Adam. And the second Adam, the believer, and in the second Adam, they are the true image and true representation, complete work that God began in the garden. And as we loved the first work, which began in the garden, which is great, we must embrace and see the second as superior. If I walk into the house of my brother without telling them I am coming, or let me not make it personal, how will you feel when your relative, your brother, your sister, walks into your house without telling you they are coming? Will you feel upset? Now, how about I walk into your house without telling you I'm coming? I want to challenge you because I'm taking you somewhere. We might need reorientation. You will pardon me if I was your brother in the flesh. Will you pardon me now that I'm your brother in the spirit? Will you be able to look away from what I've done wrong, because it's not polite, it's not good that you just bang into people. We know it's not right, but what will be your response? How will you respond? The first one you will pardon because you can see what we just say here, brotherly love continues. It's natural. It's natural. Where I come from, they say that if you come in at midnight, it's whatever you find in the kitchen you're going to eat, because you didn't come at the right time. But you will still find something to eat. If I come in as a Christian, what will happen to you? I'll take a look at it. In verse 2, actually says, of Hebrews 13, says, continue or entertain or let brotherly love continue, and do not forget to phileo nixia, that is love for strangers, to welcome strangers. Don't forget, in essence, the demonstration of the first verse, one of the key demonstrations is hospitality. Do not forget to be hospitable. I gave you a story that if I came into your house unannounced, how would you feel? But if you go into Genesis chapter 19, there was a man sitting by the gate. His name is called Lot. He's just sitting by the gate of the city. And some people came unannounced. He saw two men. None of his business. No instruction in scripture for him to do what he was going to do. He walked up to them and asked them to stay in his house. They said, no, we will continue our journey. The scripture says he persuaded them. If I come into your house unannounced, what will you do? This other person is persuading strangers to stay. Do you see the difference? If I come into your house and you welcome me, you have done great. You've done a great thing. How about you go persuade a stranger? That's another level. Please stay, man. I ask you to support you, and you're saying no. Go. That will be, you can go. Well, take your decision. That's your own decision. I did my best. I asked him to come. He said no. Can you persuade someone that you must help them? I want to help you. But you know what Hebrew said? Unknowingly, some entertain angels. I'm not saying you open your door, I'm hoping that an angel will come. You never know. It might not be the case. But he's saying that you do not know the impact that your hospitality can have on people. Your hospitality is the power of God to deliver. Because only Christians can do it. Only those who know God. Remember that in Genesis chapter 18, Abraham also had entertained angels, unknowing. Saw certain men under the tree. And he went to them that he may serve them. Not knowing they were angels. It was in that story he was told, this time next year, Sarah will have a child. He entertained angels unknowingly. I know that times are difficult. Society dangerous. It was dangerous at those times too. And by the way, if I am saying that brotherly love is something we need to commit to, I hope you don't have a feeling God is telling you to do something he has not done. The Bible refers to you and I as strangers and foreigners. It was God who first welcomed us into his own family. How about that? It was God who first opened the door to his own kingdom, to strangers like you and I. Not just ordinary strangers, criminals, I guess it, we were. We broke every single law available. We broke every law of God. We broke it unknowingly. We broke it knowingly. After knowingly, we still broke it. We did everything wrong. And here is the kind of law that came to us. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. That's the word that was spoken to me. Is it true that we didn't know what we were doing when we were crucifying him? Is it true that they didn't know they were bribing Judas when they were doing it? Oh, Jesus. Listen, where I'm going is that don't think I'm telling you start loving. Start loving. Start showing brotherly love. No, I'm saying God can teach us to demonstrate brotherly love. This is not about you doing something. This is about you allowing God to work out his will in you. And this Jesus said in John chapter 13, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. There are things we do in church that are great. One of it, we give offering. Another one, we do Bible study. Another one that we do, which these are good things, is we pray. But Jesus never said by any of these we will be known. We're not going to be known as Christians because we pray. Because we don't do that to people, we do that to God. We don't study to people, we study to God. We don't give to people. Where we see, the love that you demonstrate to people will show where you're coming from. Because it's going to be rare. It's that kind of love that people ask you, why are you helping me? Why are you doing what you're doing? In spite of what I have done, why are you after me in love? Sorry, I've not followed my prepared sermon. Because I feel that what the Lord wants to tell us is to stand in gap. The world is broken,
yeah,
and God is counting on you and I. There is no one that can bring this message to the world except you and I. And God knows that he's giving us sufficient resources, and that's the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit in you. Unfortunately, we take it, we go back into our past, what we've been, who we've been, our experiences, our limitations, our failures, and then we allow those things to stop us from moving forward, because those things tell us that we might be good enough, particularly because the world is corrupt. I told you that brotherly love continues. Some of you, there are people here who may have brothers they don't want to see in real life. Sisters you don't ever want to meet in real life. Those kind of experiences corrupt the understanding of brotherly love. But the truth about brotherly love is that it's so strong and embedded in it is one of the greatest seeds in life, the seed of forgiveness. It's often easy to forgive and to let go. In 1990, I think it was 1996, my brother, I felt he accused me of doing something that I didn't do. And he was born again, tongue talking. I shared about him once. He's the one in his church, he thought about speaking in tongues till his church excommunicated him. Everybody was teaching youth and they were speaking in tongues, they excommunicated him. 2 years after, all the church spoke in tongues. They said, come back, we now speak in tongues. Said, the Lord has achieved his purpose. Keep speaking in tongues. But he did, so I adore him. I respect him as a leader in my family, spiritually. But he accused me of doing something that I didn't do. And I couldn't just forgive. I wanted to forgive. Let go. But he held me captive. December 1996 till February 1997. I just need a period. You know, when you go through things that are very strong in your mind, you don't forget them. I struggled to forgive. Why am I saying it? I also recognize that sometimes we struggle to love. We want to show love back to people, but we struggle. How do I love someone who has abused me? How do I love someone who despised me? How do I love someone who has cheated me? That may be the question in your heart. Well, it's easy to love Pastor Melvin, he's always here too. But how do I love this other brother? Does he even listen? But the Bible does not teach us to love those who are worthy. God forbid that in life sector that we love people based on their sense of being worthy. God forbid that we treat people based on how we perceive that they are. Because God's command to us is to love all men. We must and should never be respecters of persons. When I stayed back in this church, there are two people that we met the first time, even though we knew God led us to this church. Two people that made us stay. He made me the first week. In fact, there were reasons not to stay, I've been saying to you. But there were two people that immediately showed because of other experiences. I don't like mentioning him, but it's good. Mr. Samuel and why? Something they did the very day we came. And there was, I think, Nathan's parent just told us a story while we were standing. And those things stop. What am I trying to tell you? That the good works you do create seeds that fruit onto righteousness. I don't think any of them ever know they did anything. But as you follow God, you'll be sowing the seeds of righteousness. And it will germinate. The Lord healed my relationship with my brother and we became great power. The Lord gave me a word and comforted me. And then one of the things I have now learned, which is what I'm trying to say, I will say to that story is that we love people and we forgive people, not because they have repented. That's difficult to share. You must forgive people, not because they repented. You forgive because it's a command to you. Repentance is God's command to them. They and God will solve that problem. You must have before God say, I did my own part. I forgave. Many times we are also trapped that the person has not changed. You're waiting. Imagine Jesus was waiting for us to change. He didn't. He died for us first and then asked us to change. Because love is what overcomes multitude of sin. Love is what conquers sin. So it is your duty to forgive, to release forgiveness and to demonstrate it that you have forgiven and allow that power to release those people from their bondage. It is the healing power. It is what changes the world. It is what changes men. Let me read a few scriptures. God is the faith. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. It says, let love be without hypocrisy. Hate what is evil. Cling to that which is good. And be kindly affectioned. That is the word philostogos. To one another with brotherly love. The word Philadelphia. Both express what Apostle John and Paul wanted us to do. And it says, in honor, preferring one another. I think there is a Bible translation that says, in honor, outperforming or outdoing one another. Be the one that wants to outdo your brother in honoring them. So be one who gives, like Paul said, Acts chapter 20, that it's more pleasant to give than to receive. Here, the word Philadelphia basically explain what we have said before. To love as family. To have family relation. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 tells us the foundation for this love. Because we first received it. This is what it says. It says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called sons of God. The point is that don't get too used to it and begin to feel deserving. Being a child of God, we never deserved it. When you begin to think of yourself as a child, from that attitude where you feel deserving, you will struggle to give out. Because those who often put themselves in that place of unworthiness, they remember where they came from. That the food that is served before you, you and I were destitute, and God brought us and sat us down at the table to eat. And then we see another destitute, and we're saying, go away. We're pushing them away from the same meal of love that we didn't deserve, that we were brought in. Those who are truly saved want others to join them. They want others to enjoy. And he said, what manner of love is this? It is mind-blowing. We read that scripture earlier also. What is man that you are mindful of him? Why? Who am I? Stay in the place of who am I so that I can influence what I should be. Amen? Look at what it says in verse. Therefore, the world knows him not because... I need to check the time. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my helper. I've asked Jesus to help me out too. My next ambition is I go to church that Jesus was helping me on. How can I tell your story so easily? Because I don't want to stand in gap on what Jesus has to say. And my desire is that my limitations do not become an hindrance to it. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, it says, beloved, now are we sons and daughters of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be. We don't know whether we will have wings, whether we will be flying upside down. It doesn't. But what we know, when it shall appear, we shall be like Christ. So we know our identity. So when the Bible tells us to love, it is from who we are, not what we are not. It's because he has made us able. Ephesians 5:2 says, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savour. Which means, if he says we should walk in love as Christ walked in love, and the love of Christ is an offering and a sacrifice, it means our love should be an offering and a sacrifice. My loving the brethren is an offering to God. My focus is that I am serving God. It's not about the person. They may be undeserving. They may have done terrible things. They may have been involved in terrible things, like David, who murdered a person. Like David, who took another person's wife. But you and I today are forgiving David. People that say that the truth, with forgiving David, can you forgive real people? Change people, transformed. He is now born again, but you know his past. Will you treat him based on his past or treat him based on what the Word of God says? I think the Word of God is superior. Someone said, be careful. Yes, be careful of the Word of God. Be full of care for the Word of God so that you don't contradict the Word of God. The Bible says, love. Break barriers. Break barriers. Go far beyond. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, if you love those who love you, what have you done differently? Even unbelievers do the same. If you love those who are decent, well-educated, live in a good neighborhood, speak good English, and not the other one, like mine, you know. If you love them, which in themselves, don't get me wrong, some of these things can be good. I mean, if I meet a professor that is 23, I'll be struck, or I want to know you more. They are good, you should acknowledge them. But they should not make you diminish your love for others who don't have the same qualification or qualifications. Yes, and I admire the fact that you live in a good neighborhood, but should not lead me to despise those who live in any other neighborhood. I mean, I admire the fact that you drive a very beautiful car, and I love it. Oh, your car. But it shouldn't make me look down on anyone who's got no car. I'm able to do all things. Rejoice with those who have and those who don't have. Discrimination is a sin. It's not approved by God. And that's what scripture says. So our brotherly love is a reminder of our union in Christ. A union that the word of God says is unbroken. Because the bond is Christ himself. It's Christ that has brought us together. And I love what Jesus said in Mark chapter 3:33, when his mother, biological mother, and brothers have come to visit him. This is what he said. And you must put yourself in the shoes or the shoe of Jesus. You must put yourself. This is a must. It's not a suggestion. If you don't, you can't get the result Jesus got. You must plant the way he planted. Who is my mother? Jesus asked. And who is my brother? And he looked around about them that sat about him and said, behold my mother, my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother, my sister, and my mother. He is not joking. He's not making it light. This is the truth. Does it mean he despised Mary? No, not by any chance. But he's telling you the truth. That his biological family will miss him if they don't believe. And you will be seated together with him. Yeah, that's the truth. And if you don't love Jesus, and love those that Jesus loves this way, more than just biological connection, you have not started loving. Maybe it's an area violation for us. You have not started loving. And you can test it. You can test your love when you come to church. How you mingle. You can test your love. There are people that will be at the back. You will still go to the back. And there are people you pass before the back. And you say nothing. You were not deliberate at ignoring anyone. But there is a connection you already established. The Bible wants you to deliberately connect with every saint. In the church, you must do that. Because it's going to use you. It's not about friendship. That's not what the Bible is saying. Oh, this is my friend. No, I'm not saying build friendship with everybody in church. But to recognize that the saints are children of God. God gave birth to them. And you must love them the way he loves them. I love what Paul said in Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9. He said, but touching love, touching brotherly love, you do not need for me to write to you, because you yourself, you are taught of God to love one another. Why is Paul saying this to this church? And to be all taught of God. What Paul is referring to is that these people are taught of God and they are obeying God. You already taught and you are practicing it. We know Philippians 2:13 says God is the one at work within us, both to will, to create the willingness, and to do of his good pleasure. So Paul is saying to the Thessalonians that I don't need to write to you about love. But the writer of Hebrews is writing to the church in Hebrews. And he used something that is important. Let brotherly love continue. So, do not terminate brotherly love. Allow the word let. Allow. I know that those two words, although English is four words, let, Brotherly love continue. It's actually two words in Greek. But what he says, don't be the missing link that damages the brotherly love. Let brotherly love continue to circulate within the church. Because we know that a little living can live in the whole long. Be part of a strong link in the church. Say to yourself, I'll be part of the strong link that will ensure that the love of God thrives in Life Center. That the love of God thrives in this local assembly. He says, let it continue. And Apostle Peter also spoke about it. I'll be done. In 1 Peter chapter 3, 8, he said, finally, be ye all of one mind. In essence, embrace unity. Have compassion. Put yourself in one another's state. Love as brethren. Demonstrate love as brethren. One of the key things about that love is affection. You feel something towards the person. It's not just a statement of fact, but an expression. And again, I am not saying do it by yourself. I'm saying God wants you to do it. You and I are humans. We have limited emotion that we can express per day. We have limited emotion. You have limited capacity. And that's why if someone just turn in one part of it, your day is gone. God can steer this love in you and I. He can teach us step by step. You can build it. It doesn't come like wholesale, all together, all of its awesomeness at once. It's one day, one layer, one step at a time. You can release yourself to build this emotion. Peter said, love as brethren. That is, don't just love with words, allow every part of you to participate. And you know that's destroying that concept of I can forgive, but I can't forget. You have not started loving. Because the love of God forgets. It says you will not remember. If you are still remembering, it's because you are in that deserving status. You have not seen what a great rot that God delivered you from. You have forgotten. The power that delivered you has been diminished. But if you call to remembrance, haven't you seen that people who go through traumatic experience freely gives? Imagine someone who fell from a 10-story building and they are alive, no bone broken, and you ask them, can I get some? I need something to eat. How is it? Do you think the awesomeness of their safety? What they may give their whole life, everything they've got, because nothing matters at that moment when they thought it has ended, and immediately they got something back. They will be ready to give. But when you think you have been doing so much yourself, that's where you say, why is Pastor asking me to give more? I have given before. I've tried. I've done my best because I have other plans. Be struck by the awesomeness of what Christ did, that he delivered you from so great a debt. Don't get tired of it. So maintain that fraternal love. I love how Paul puts it in 13, verse 8, Romans chapter 13. He says, owe no man anything but to love one another. Owe no man anything. But you should owe love so that you keep, see yourself as a debtor to every saint. And that you owe them love to love them all the time. Don't owe anything. But when it comes to love, have a reserve of that. that love in you towards them and for them. I'll move quickly. I know our time is fast spent, but we are going to go out. Remember, the moment we leave this place, the things you have heard, the Lord will ask you. You'll be tested very quickly. I know I'll be in the forefront because I have said it, and then God is in those heaven. Practice time, because that's how God does it. Teaches us and gives us an example to solve. God is going to bring the example for you to solve. You don't have to be afraid. Just remember that the Lord is with you. I think I should close with this. I'll close with 1 John chapter 3:16. And I myself will be thankful for God and to God for reminding me about God. This is what 1 John 3:16 says. It says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us." Before Jesus died, God has always loved. God's love does not have a beginning. And that's not what the scripture says. He said, "But this is how we perceive it." When he laid down his life, we saw it in reality. "I know you also love the brethren." Look at the next thing he says to you. "And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." Do you believe this scripture? That you should lay down your life, not for your family, not for your children, not for your brother who have helped you all your life, for strangers, for Christians. There is nowhere in scripture that tells us to die for our family members. But here, the Bible says, be ready to die for strangers, simply because they belong to God. Simply because they are children of God. This is the height of love. Some, listen, if I can give my life, then I can give everything. That's what it means. Hospitality is going to be easy. Unity is going to be easy, because if I can give my life, then I'll give up arguments that leads to confusion. I'll give up position in church that makes people break church and say, "I ought to be the pastor. Why would you say this other person is the pastor?" And then they split church. If I will lay down my life, then that will happen. Schism in church, division. If I lay down my life, division can't happen, because I already laid it down for you. So it can't be divided. I'm ready what you want. Learning to lose so that others can gain. Not always fighting for my rights. If I'm ready to lay down my life, things will work. Jesus said, we need to be in this place. Bow your heads. Let's pray to him.